Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. We began looking earlier at four lepers that were sitting outside of one city, and they were, as they sat outside the city of Samaria, of course, they were unable to go into the city of Samaria because they had leprosy. They were sitting out there and they were starving. Even if they had gone into the city of Samaria, they would have been killed because of their leprosy. And then they decided that it was wrong for them to just sit there and die, so they went into Syria, into the camp of the Syrians, expecting to be killed there. And yet when they got into the camp of Syria, God had caused the Syrians, the enemies of the children of Israel, God had caused those Syrians to hear, they thought they heard, the sound of chariots and horses, so all the Syrians had fled away. All the enemies of the children of Israel, they had fled their camp, and they left all of their tents, left all their food, their silver, and their gold, and their clothing, and everything. They left it right there in the camp of the Syrians. So when the four lepers went into Syria, there was not a single man in Syria. All the people had left. And so there was an abundance of food, an abundance of gold and silver and clothing, and they went into one tent. They got all that they could gather together out of that one tent. They ran out of the camp and they hid and buried that they had. Then they decided, well, they would go back and get some more. So they went back into the camp of the Syrians and they gathered out of another tent. They gathered more gold and silver, got everything they could of great value out of that tent. They went out and they hid it. And then they said this statement. Now, this morning we concentrated our thoughts on verse 3, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, where the scripture says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" That was the main thought this morning, is that those lepers said, "Why sit we here until we die?" The people of God, we all need to understand that it's wrong for us to sit down and do nothing. There are many people that because they understand the truths of salvation by grace, that they have just sat down in the rocking chair of grace and they're doing nothing. They're not serving God. They're not zealous in their service to God. They're not happy about what God has done for them. They're just sitting down and waiting to die so that one day they can go to heaven. Word of God teaches that that's not at all what Christians should do. The people of God, once they're born of the Spirit of God, they need to be faithfully out serving the Lord. And so these four men, they decided they would not sit there any longer. That's when they went to the camp of the Syrians. And then in verse 9, after they had gathered that food and they had been taking care of their own needs, they knew that the people of God in Samaria, they knew that their brothers were starving to death. And so they then decided, they said among themselves, look at verse 9. Verse 9, 2 Kings 7, verse 9 says, "Then said they one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" So what they concluded was, this was the Spirit of God moving in them, they decided that they would go to the house of Israel. Let's go to the king's household. Let's go tell our brethren that we have found this city or camp, and it is full of everything that we need and everything that they need. You know what the first and great commandment is. Somebody tell me, one of the children, what is the first and great commandment that's in the Word of God? What's the first and great commandment? One of the children. Okay, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength." That's the first and great commandment. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second commandment is likened to it, and that is, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I believe with all of my heart, if we love our neighbor as we should, then we're not going to be satisfied with us just holding on to everything that we have, but we're going to want to share with others. And these four lepers, when they had been given by God, by a miracle from God, they had been given the blessings, the bountiful blessings that were in this city, they then began to go to their brethren. Because they loved their brethren, they wanted their brethren to enjoy some of the blessings that they had found there in the camp of the Syrians. Now, I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that that's one of the most wonderful things that the people of God can do, is when you are receiving a blessing, when you are blessed by God. And I want you to remember, James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every blessing that you have came from God. The question is asked in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Where did you get all of your blessings from? God is the one who gave you everything that you have. And we as the people of God, if we love our brethren, we're going to want to share what God has given to us. Not only are we going to want to share the material blessings, but if the people of God have been blessed to know the truth of God's Word, if they know anything at all about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, if they know the beauties of the truths in the Word of God, they're going to want to share those truths with other people. They want to tell people how good the Lord is. Those shepherds, when the angels came to them, those angels spoke to them good tidings of great joy. Those shepherds went out and they told everyone they could find the good tidings of great joy. Isn't that what these people said right here? Look again in your Bibles at 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. The Word of God says, then they said one to another, we do not well. Now what was it they were talking about, we do not well? We do not well to go into this camp of the Syrians and just get everything for ourselves. That's not the right thing to do. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. I want to ask you this question. Do you have any good tidings that you can share with other people in this world today? Are there not many people, are there not many children of God who do not know that Jesus Christ has really accomplished what He came to do? Are there not many children of God today that they're hearing about a Jesus that's a little weak Jesus, and He's trying to save you, and He's offering to save you, and He wants to save you if you will let Him? That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus is not a weakling who can't do something unless you let Him. You'll never find anywhere in the Word of God that Jesus wants to do something or He's trying to do something if you will just let Him. The Word of God declares a sovereign God who is all-powerful and all-wise. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus came, the Scripture says in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Did He come and try to save, or did He save? When He hung on the cross of Calvary, He said, it is finished. He had accomplished what He came to do. He came and He saved His people from their sins. If you know that truth, if you know those good tidings, you need to be going and telling your brothers about what good things the Lord has done for us. That eternal salvation is an accomplished fact. That Jesus will never lose one that was given to Him by the Father before the foundation of the world. That everyone that Jesus died for, that they're eternally secure in the hand of Jesus and in the hand of God the Father. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're preserved, according to Jude 1. We are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. And those are some truths that we need to rejoice in. They are good tidings of great joy to me, but there are a lot of other God's children that need to hear those good tidings of great joy. And if we sit on those truths and hold them for ourselves, What did these four leprous men say? We do not well. It is not smart, it is not wise, it is not right, and it is not good for God to have blessed me with any truth in His Word and me not share it with other people. Not only are the great truths of salvation by grace, not only are those truths that we need to go and tell others about, but one of the greatest and most wonderful truths in the Word of God is that not just that one day we can die and go home to be with the Lord, but one of the greatest truths in the Word of God is the fact that God has established His kingdom in the earth right now. You'll notice that in the Word of God, the Scripture tells us that every single preacher in the New Testament, they all said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand. You know what it means to be at hand? Brother Herman, right now you're at hand. I mean, you're close to me. Next week you may go to Tennessee or Savannah, or you may go somewhere else. You won't be close to me. But the kingdom of heaven, when John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, began to preach, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17 tells us that Jesus began to preach and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus chose his 12 apostles. In Matthew chapter 10, the Word of God tells us that he told them to go and to preach and to say, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. He chose 70 disciples. He sent them out to preach in Luke chapter 10. And the Word of God says he told them to go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm telling you that every preacher in the New Testament, before the crucifixion of Christ and after the crucifixion of Christ, they all preached the good news, the glad tidings that we have a kingdom of heaven right now. What was the wonderful news that these four men went to tell their brothers about? Did these four men go tell their brothers, just be happy, one day we're going to die and go to heaven? Is that what these four brothers went and told their brethren? Is that what they went and told the king's household, is that one day we're going to die and go to heaven? That's not what they went and told their brethren. They went and told their brethren, come, God has provided us a city. God has provided us a place right now where we can enjoy bountiful blessings. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Brethren, if you understand the truth about the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this world, if you understand the great blessing that we can have right now, the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, you ought not to just rejoice in it for yourself, but what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Go share it. Go tell your brethren. What did these four men do here? They went and told the king's household. I want you to know that there were particular people that could understand the message. There were particular people that they loved, and they went and they told the king's household about the bountiful blessings that were available for them right now. And so it is that part of the message that we have to share with others of God's children is that God has saved us eternally, and one day we're going to be with Him forever, not because of our works. The Bible tells us that our eternal salvation is not of our works, not by our works, and not according to our works. However, the Word of God makes it clear that if we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven while we're here, if we're going to enter into this city, if we're going to get some of these great blessings that God has for His children now, then we have to be doing the will of the Father. Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 21, He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's works, that's obedience, that's faithfulness. The only ones who can enter the kingdom of heaven are those who are going to be doing the will of the Father. Good works are necessary in order for us to have fellowship with God right now. Luke 17 and verse 21, after Jesus and all these people have been preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what the scribes and Pharisees did? They went to Jesus and they demanded Him to tell them, where is this kingdom of heaven? You keep telling us the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we don't see any king, and we don't see any kingdom. The scripture says in Luke 17 and verse 20 that Jesus said that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. What does that mean? The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. What does that word observation mean? It means you can't see it. He says the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, Jesus said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Have you ever felt close to God? You ever felt God in you? You ever felt that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? When you know how good God is and you can feel the presence of God, you're in the kingdom of heaven. And if you know about the kingdom of heaven, if you understand that the kingdom of heaven is completely different than the eternal heaven, if you understand about the truths of the kingdom of heaven and you sit down and do nothing, you do not well. On the other hand, if you know about the truths of the kingdom of heaven and you just sit and you rejoice in them for yourself, you do not well. You're to go and tell the king's household, just like these four lepers did. Go and tell others the good news, the glad tidings of the kingdom of heaven. The gospel of the kingdom. That's what the word gospel means, is good news. The gospel of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts just a moment. Look in Acts chapter 20. And we find that the apostle Paul, as he went about preaching, that he was preaching about this wonderful good news of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Those two phrases, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And the apostle Paul, as he was about to leave Ephesus, he called the elders of the church at Ephesus together. And he told those elders that I have been preaching among you the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the grace of God. I've been telling you some of the great truths that God has shown to me. You know what Brother David does when he goes out to Baptist Village every Wednesday and he's out there talking to those dear saints of God at Baptist Village? He's doing the same thing those four leprous men did. He's out there telling them about how good God is, how wondrous things the Lord has done for us, how one day we're going to be in heaven because of God's amazing grace and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to be in the eternal heaven. And he's also telling them how wonderful it is that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven right now and feel his presence every day. You know, that's an important message for those dear saints in the nursing home. To know they, and listen, brethren, listen carefully. There's a big difference in the kingdom of heaven and the church. Those dear saints at Baptist Village and other nursing homes, the vast majority of those people in the nursing homes, they never get to come to church. But guess what they can have? Though they're laying flat on their backs in the nursing home, is it possible for them to feel that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost right there in the nursing home? Can they be in the kingdom of heaven, though they can't be in the church building? Can they be in the kingdom right there in the nursing home? What a marvelous God we have. Did you know that better than 2/3 of the world have died and never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you know that right now, that there are many, many places that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet, there are saints of God all over this world. There are children of God that God has written his laws in their heart, and they're following those laws. They're serving God and they're loving God. And guess what they enter into? Wherever they are. In Africa, you can go to the darkest places of Africa. I've talked to people that were raised down there where when you stole something, they had one law. You stole something one time, they cut your hand off. You stole something again, they cut both hands off. But they understood that if they served God and loved God, that God would dwell with them right here. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? To feel God's presence with us right now. Look now at Acts 20 verse 25. Acts 20 verse 25. I want you to understand that when the Apostle Paul had the Apostle Paul been delivered from a bondage, had he been delivered from a false religion, had the Apostle Paul been delivered from the Jews' religion, and once God delivered him from the Jews' religion, the Word of God, you know, there's a common idea today that it doesn't make any difference what you believe. Well, brethren, it does make a difference what you believe. And it makes a big difference what you teach and what you preach. The truth of the Word of God is important. The church, the Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And if we're not going to hold up the truth of God's Word, if we're not going to earnestly contend for the truth, for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, then we're no longer the church. If we're not out telling other people, if we're not out telling other people about the great blessings that are found in the church, yes, and in the kingdom of heaven, if we're not out telling other people, then we just don't love them like we should. If we love them, we're going to share the good news with them, aren't we? I had a man tell me just in the past couple of weeks, he said, "Brother Billy, how long have you known this? Why hadn't you told me this before?" Well, sometimes, brethren, sometimes we've been quiet when we should have spoken. Most of us are speaking when we ought to be quiet, but sometimes we're quiet when we should have been speaking. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20, calling the elders of the church together, and he says in Acts 20, verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God." What has he been preaching? The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. "You shall see my face no more." But what had he been preaching and teaching to them? He had been preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. Go with me very quickly in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22 in closing. Revelation chapter 22. I want you to notice this right here. Very quickly, in Revelation chapter 22, and chapter 21, I want to remind you that Revelation 21 is all about this kingdom of heaven. It describes the city, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, that came down from God out of heaven. This is not heaven. It's something that came down from God out of heaven. That's taught all through Revelation 21. It's the holy city. It's the New Jerusalem. And then in Revelation 22, listen to verse 14. Revelation 22, verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Is there something for you to do to enter this city? Is there something for you to do to enter this city? Let me read it again. Revelation 22, verse 14. "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." You have to do His commandments. One of the very first things Jesus did in Matthew 7, 21, taught that you have to do the Father's will. And one of the last things He ever said is, you have to do His commandments if you're going to enter into this city. You have to keep the commandments of God. Now, once you enter in, listen carefully in closing right here. Once you enter in to this city, you ought to just sit down and just eat and drink at the master's table. You ought to just take all this gold and silver in the Word of God. You ought to just sit down with it and hold on to it and hoard it up and just sit down and do nothing with it except just enjoy it yourself. Is that what Jesus would tell us to do? Absolutely not. And verse 17 in closing. Revelation 22 verse 17 says, "And the Spirit," listen, Revelation 22 verse 17, he's just been talking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And he says in Revelation 22, 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say," what do the Spirit and the bride say? They say, "Come." Who is the bride, brethren? Who is the bride? The church is the bride. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." Who does the bride say come to? Who did those four lepers go say come to? They went to tell the king's household, "Come, we found this wonderful city." And the Spirit and the bride, they say come. "And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Let me quickly say in closing that taking the water of life does not give life, it sustains life. The life is already there. Have you ever been thirsty? I remember when I was a boy, and my daddy would be through preaching, and he'd pick up that glass of water, and I'd think, oh, man, I wish I could be up there getting a sip of that water. There's a graveyard behind the church. You can go out there and say to everybody in that graveyard, you can say, whosoever will, come, take this water. And if you'll drink this water, you'll be happy, and you'll rejoice, and you'll live. I want to ask you a question. How many of the people in that graveyard are going to come get this water? Nobody. Nobody out there can. They're dead. And so it is in the Word of God when the Scripture says, whosoever will, let him come take the water of life. He's talking to people who are already alive spiritually. They're not dead spiritually. He's not telling them how to get born again. He's telling those people who are alive, if you're thirsty, come drink. Brother Bill, are you thirsty? Come here. And be careful, I drank out of it too. Isn't it good? Brother Neil, you thirsty? I'm going to turn the cup sideways, turn it around. That good? It's good, isn't it? Brother Herman, are you thirsty? You'll be all right for a little while longer. All right. But listen, brethren, we're talking about drinking the water of life, not out of this little cup right here. We're talking about a pure river of water of life that proceeds from the throne of God. That's how Revelation 22 starts out. A pure river of water of life that proceeds from the throne of God. And you can drink, and I can drink, and everybody in this room can drink from that pure river of water of life, and nobody's going to get any germs, nobody's going to get sick, but your soul will be satisfied when you drink that pure river of water of life. But the only ones that will ever drink are the ones who are alive and the ones who are thirsty. So you go out there and you tell your brethren, we found the water of life. We have the water of life. If you love your brethren, you go and say to them, what Revelation 22:17 say that you'll say? Come, come, come. We've got the city, we've got the water of life, and we need to be telling others to come. May God help us to do that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.